Please pray with me. Dear Lord, may these words not be my words. May this message not come from me, but may it come from you. May it serve your purpose and give you glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. For a lot of people, it seems the majority would agree that 2016 was a bit of a challenging year. Maybe it wasn't the greatest year. Maybe it was even a bad year. Some of us may even say it was the worst year. After all, we lost a lot of people. There's been lots of memorials online about the celebrities we've lost. But I know we've also lost members of our community, members of our congregation, our families, people we know and love. But yet, we also lost, I think, a sense of purpose in the world as a country. We lost civility. We lost decorum. We lost a lot of things through the political process this last year. Some would say this is a terrible demonstration of the way, where we've gotten to as a country when it comes to politics. And the division, the antagonism, the battle still goes on in the area of politics. And there's also terrorism. It's continuing to be a problem all around the world. Seems like every week or sometimes every day we hear reports of tragedy or bombings or shootings or whatever. In fact, I got one this morning. Shooting in Istanbul. 30-some people were killed last night. It seems like it happens and it won't stop. And for a lot of us, I think we're discouraged, we're frustrated. And I don't know that anybody would describe 2016 as a great year. No, good things happened, but yet a lot of bad things happened too. And as we talk today about the close of 1 year and the start of a brand new year, that's something to celebrate. We get a brand new slate. We get a brand new opportunity. As John pointed out, our calendars are clean. Our calendars right now, we can put anything we want on our calendars right now for 2017. We can literally change the world with how we decide to live, the decisions we make. And it doesn't matter what happened last year. We get to look forward to next year. And as I was preparing this message and reflecting on the year we've just completed, and looking forward to this new year, and thinking, what is the difference? What's has to change for us? Not just us as individuals, or us as a church congregation in this community, or even a country. But what do we need to do differently? What do we need to change? How do we need to realign our thinking for 2017 if we're going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? If we're going to have the impact that I know we want to have in the world, if we're truly going to be blessed and live out of our purpose, what needs to change? What do we need to focus on? And I'd like to talk this morning about trust. Trusting in the Lord. It seems to me that one thing we have lacked this last year is trust in the Lord. We've been frustrated because we can no longer trust our government, or we can no longer trust our leaders. Some of us would even say we can no longer trust our friends or our loved ones or any number, our media. We can't trust our media. There's a lot of distrust in the world today. I think if we just make that one change from last year to this year, if we just trust God, trust in the Lord, it will make for not just an okay 2017, not just a year where we can get through it unscathed, but it'll make for a wonderful, blessed, and powerful year. We can just trust in the Lord. I'd like to start by reading this story that many of us are familiar with, of Abraham. This comes from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of God. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to harm him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Wow, that is one of the more challenging stories in all of Scripture. And now that I'm a father, when I read it, it's that much more difficult. I cannot imagine what was going through Abraham's mind and his heart when God asked him to do that. Did he say yes all right away? Did he struggle? Did he try to argue with God? Did he try to bargain with God? Did he try to negotiate a different way? I don't know that I could do that. If God came down and said, "Right now, take your oldest, Bryson, 5 years old, and kill him for me." Wow. I mean, even when you say it, it's like, how can anybody make that decision? Yet, Abraham did make that decision. And Abraham didn't just agree to this plan. He didn't just say, "Yeah, I'll do it." You know, in theory, he actually did it. He actually brought the knife and was getting ready to do it when the angel stopped him. In fact, that's why Abraham received blessings. Well, he was favored for God. Why God said, "I will make out of you a great nation. Your descendants will outnumber the sand on the seashore and the stars in the sky. And through you, all people will be blessed." Because of that one act of obedience, act of trust that Abraham demonstrated. He could have chosen not to. He could have made excuse. He could have plain out disobeyed God. He trusted God. He trusted that if God said to do it, it must be done. Not just because he said it, but because that is the best thing for everyone. How many times do we second guess God? How many times do we have our own idea of the way it should go and we decide, "I know best, I'm going to do it this way"? Often, I think we do. Almost all the time, practically. But Abraham trusted God. Just a few years. We don't know how old Isaac was when this happened. 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, somewhere around there probably. And Abraham remembered that it was God that made it possible for Sarah to have Isaac in the first place. A miraculous conception and birth, as they were both well beyond their years. Yet, Abraham knew that. He knew the power of God. He knew that God blesses people. And he knows that he often doesn't understand why or how. But he trusted God. If we could trust God like that, what could God do through us? How could God bless us? How could God change our lives and change the lives of people around us if we were able to trust God? It seems to me that the reason 2016 was a rough year was because we failed to trust God as a church, as a nation, as individuals. How do we trust God in 2017? For I believe that in 2017, if we can trust God, 2017 can be the best year we've ever had. And I've got a list here. Top 10 list, if you will. Seems like everywhere you look, there's somebody who writes a list about trying to quantify and qualify and encapsulate the year. Well, here's my rules for a great 2017. And you're probably not going to agree with all these. You're probably going to take issue with some of these. But here they are. And these rules, if we were to practice these rules, they would help us trust God. And thereby helping God provide a great 2017. I'm going to, this week I'm going to send these out in email, so you feel free to write them down, but I'm gonna send them out to everyone. So look for that, and I encourage you, when you get this list this week in email, sit down, look at it. Is this something that you could adopt, or with a little tweaking, could you adopt this list for yourself? Here it is. First one: don't worry. Don't worry. If God is God and He loves us, then we have nothing to worry about. Am I right? My wife needs to hear this one. I don't think she's here right now, but my wife is a bit of a worrier. And she worries a lot, more than she needs to. But none of us need to worry. God said, I got it. There's nothing that can happen, good or bad, that God can't use for our benefit. Nothing. Don't worry. There's no sense in it. There's no help in it. God will provide. If we trust God, then we don't need to worry. What about no fretting over past decisions? I'm actually guilty of this one. Don't fret over past decisions. If it happened, it happened. There's no sense in beating yourself up about it. Whatever the decision might be. Because if we trust God, we know that God can take any mess up, mistake that we make and turn it around for good. He can turn it around and make something awesome out of it. In fact, He does it all the time. How about this one? No anger toward or disappointment in others. That's kind of a tough one. If we trust God, then we know that no one can do anything to us that can really hurt us. If we trust God, then God can take all the pain and betrayal and hurt and injury that we receive from others, and He can make blessings come from it. That's what God does. In fact, God says, vengeance is mine. Like He says that because He says, don't worry about it. I got it. I'll fix it. I'll correct it. I'll make it come together in a way where you'll be amazed. What about this? This one, this one's a tough one. I know people are going to not like this one. No goals. Don't set any goals for 2017. But Pastor Mike, I already have my list of, 57 goals I want to accomplish this year. No goals. In fact, just live better. I bet you, those of you who like to make your list of goals, maybe you've already made it for this year, or go back and look at the one you made for last year, and look on there and say, which of these goals were simply designed to bless me, or help me, or how many of them were focused around me? I bet you we'd be surprised. No goals. God's going to accomplish something great. If we just live well, then all the goals that we could possibly need to accomplish will be accomplished. We just trust God. Well, this one's similar to that one. No resolutions. Yeah, I hate resolutions. I don't know why we even bother. But we all have a list of resolutions. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to quit doing this and start doing that. Check back with me in about 30 days and see if you're still doing those or not. No resolutions except one. Love God and your neighbor better. If we just did that one, if we just paid attention to that one resolution, I resolve to love God better and to love my neighbor better, then that would be all we would need to accomplish. And we would accomplish infinitely more than we could possibly accomplish by getting up early and going to the gym or avoiding cheeseburgers. How about this one? Don't save any money. I hope nobody brought tomatoes in here with them. Don't save any money. Wait, I got to fund my retirement. If you have debts, pay those off. Other than that, give the rest away. If we trust God, don't we trust God? If God is trustworthy, then He already has a retirement plan for us. He already is taking care of it. And what about this one? Don't think too much. I struggle with this one too. Don't think too much. Don't try to figure out the perfect plan. Don't try to figure out exactly what God wants us to do or what would be the best thing to do in this situation or this situation. Just pray and act. And let God fill in the gaps. If we trust God, then that's what He promises to do. Here's one that I think we all need to learn. Work less, play more. Why do we work? So we can provide security for ourselves. So we can provide food and health care and retirement and an emergency fund and stuff to help protect us and take care of us. Work less and trust that God will provide all of our needs. We have to work some, certainly. Work less and play more. We need to be playing at least as much as we're working. Abandon a PC mindset. Speak truth in all things. This one might be tough. Abandon a PC mindset. Speak truth in all things. PC as in politically correctness. Political correctness. Or another way I would put it is practical conformity. Abandon a PC mindset. There's no reason to... Why do we obey politically correctness? Because we're afraid. If we just conform, if we just get along, if we don't make anybody mad, or we don't say anything that'll offend anyone, then it'll go easy for us. Really, shouldn't we speak truth in all situations, trusting that God will take care of us, God will protect us, God will use that truth to bless us and to bless others? That's a tough one. And here's the last one. Adopt an eternal worldview. Adopt an eternal worldview. When we get stuck in our narrow, limited, earthly way of thinking about life, then we can't trust God because we're so worried about trusting ourselves and trusting others around us, trusting the systems, trusting whatever we have around us. When we adopt an eternal worldview, we realize that today doesn't matter. Saving money doesn't matter. Stuff we're going to accomplish, businesses we're going to build, great things we're going to do, books we're going to write, none of that matters. For life is but a moment compared to eternity with God. And if God holds all of eternity right here in the palm of his hand, I think he could handle this little 70 or 80 year time span of my life. If we have an eternal perspective, then we're not living for today or for tomorrow or for the end of 2017 or for the next several years. We're living for when we get to be at the foot of the cross. When we find ourselves outside of time, not bound by anything that we're trying to create or recreate or do here. When we adopt an eternal perspective, it changes everything. And it makes it so much more easy to trust God. And if we just trust God, if we quit trusting ourselves, quit trusting our government, quit trusting our leaders, quit trusting in our own stuff, and simply trust God, then that's when God does what he says he'll do. And bless us and keep us safe and keep us focused on him and keep us focused on the mission and create situations where we can bless others and where we can glorify him. How do we trust God this year? And do we believe that if we trust God and live our lives like we trust God, that this will be the best year we've ever had?